Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Wednesday, November 12th. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, an opportunity to take a look at two housing developments taking shape in Kent. And we've got plenty of reaction as Gillingham crash out of the EFL trophy. But first, taking a look at our top story today. The owner of a car dealership in Sittingbourne says he's still in limbo 4 months after a wall collapsed onto his forecourt. A number of vehicles were crushed under the rubble when it happened at the site on Church Street in July. Tom Bowles has been speaking to Chloe Brewster from our colleagues at KMTV.
I had to go and get another job somewhere else just to try and pay some bills, but unfortunately they're not covering what the bills are, so it's eating into savings that I've got, which starting to dwindle down, but we'll get there. But it's just a matter of time how much longer this is going to take.
And what was the extent of the damage? I know many vehicles
were... We've done 20 vehicles got damaged in the wall falling down. Some of them minor than others, but others, I think 11 of them are completely written off. Three of them we managed to salvage, but the rest of them have been written off again as well. Obviously, the wall that's fallen down was roughly 15 foot high, but just luckily it was 10 past 5 in the morning rather than at 10 past 10, because obviously at 10 past 10 there would have been someone here, and that's when someone could have been injured or worse, because every car was pushed into each other, and the extent of the damage, obviously it's flattened some of the roofs down to the steering wheels.
And how much do you think this entire incident has cost you?
So far, obviously we're claiming them for the retail of the vehicles, plus the loss of earnings, plus the storage, plus obviously the rent we're paying, the rates we're paying, everything like that. So it's going to be a backcharge of that. At the moment, we're probably heading towards £250,000 so far.
That must be really tough to think. Obviously, you started this business, was it 7 years ago now? And it's the situation you're in.
I've been doing this job I've been buying and selling cars since I was 14. And then I made the jump at 23 to start this up full time. So I built it up from virtually nothing, from a couple of cars up to having 60 cars. And obviously overnight, it's pretty much squashed it.
And I know you've got a family as well. How does it feel that you'll now have to sort of leave this and try and crack on?
Trying to be a parent to my little boy as well and have him every weekend still, it's been tough because obviously I'm still trying to provide for him as well as keep myself afloat, obviously keep my house paid for, keep the business floating where it can and obviously operating so when it is settled, we can open again, but hopefully as strong as we was in the start.
And I know you were talking to me earlier about, you know, it isn't just financial damages, it's reputation damage, it's the fact that you're sort of out of the game for 6 months.
That's exactly it. Obviously, a lot of my cars I've sold before to people that have bought one for me before or recommended me to somebody else. And obviously, I've not been able to meet them requirements at the moment because one, haven't got a site to operate from, and two, the stock's not coming through at the moment because we can't renew it because one, it's space that we're still storing salvage, and two, obviously it's not health and safety beneficially to be operating from here all the time. We've got cars crushed under rubble.
And obviously, like you say, the cars are still sat there. What's it going to take to sort of clear that out? And
it's going to be obviously until the rubble's removed off of them again. Obviously, we need to get that removed first to then have a company come in and remove the salvage because some of them have got glass that's smashed all the way through them. So it's going to be a big cleanup mess. It's not going to be a sense of jumping them and drive them. It's going to have to be lifted or craned out or even and recovered away and disposed of at a salvage company or for a salvage agent.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A woman has pleaded not guilty to murder following the death of a delivery driver in Gravesend. Erica Corsica was one of three people charged following a fatal stabbing in Augustine Road in August. The 33-year-old, who lives on the same street, is due to go on trial along with the other suspects next April. A Kent man's been arrested in Wales after police found four firearms during a search in Dartford. A prohibited handgun was discovered at a property on Alder Way in Swanley, along with a revolver, shotgun and rifle in a nearby van. The 27-year-old suspect was tracked to Newport and has been remanded in custody ahead of a court appearance. Two other men were detained on suspicion of assaulting an officer and are currently out on bail. A Faversham man's been jailed after drugs and weapons were found in a children's playroom. Ellis Priest was arrested in April of 2023 after being seen acting suspiciously previously in Rochester High Street and was found to be carrying cocaine. A machete and more drugs were found during a later search at his home. The 21-year-old from Salmon Close has been locked up for 4 years and 2 months. A man pleaded guilty to throwing hand sanitizer at an assistant head teacher outside a pub in Rochester. The victim was initially reported to have been attacked with a corrosive substance in the back garden of Ye Arrow in September. A 22-year-old from Essex will be sentenced in January. A sandwich man who carried out a stabbing outside a bar has avoided jail after the judge found his ADHD influenced his behaviour. Harrison Whipp stabbed his victim outside the Rhino and Bull in Dover, causing a wound which required 15 stitches. A court heard the 30-year-old from Herondon View suffered severe ADHD and a neurological condition which contributed to a disproportionate reaction. He was given a 2-year suspended sentence. He must also do a mental health treatment program and rehab. The family of a teenager from Folkestone who died in a car crash say they want justice, with one suspect still out on bail 18 months later. 16-year-old Alicia Marie Ponta died after the car she was a passenger in overturned on the A249 in Maidstone. A 17-year-old was arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving. Alicia's mum Cody says she feels they've been forgotten about. Police say they're still working to secure a prosecution.
Kent Online News.
An investigation's underway after an Ocado van caught fire on the M2 near Gillingham. The blaze caused long delays on the coastbound stretch between junctions 3 and 4 yesterday evening. A spokesperson for the online supermarket says no one was hurt. It's understood Reform UK has told members to boycott a new BBC documentary about the rise of the party. Yesterday, Kent County Council leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron raised concerns about how her speeches might be edited for the programme. An internal memo is now thought to have been sent instructing Reform members to stop giving assistance to film crews. Bosses at an NHS trust in Kent have apologised after hundreds of email addresses were mistakenly shared while inviting parents to take part in a study on children with ADHD. The messages were sent out by a clinical practitioner from the Patient Advice and Liaison Service at the Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. Addresses hadn't been blind copied in. What happened had been reported to the Information Commissioner's Office. Three swans and several thousand fish have died after what's been described as a pollution incident in Kent. It's affected a 6-kilometre stretch of the Sarpen stream near the River Wanstone between Canterbury and Thanet. Specialists are trying to work out the source of the problem. Kent County Council have denied claims adult asylum seekers are being held at a former care home in Dartford. The Limes in Brent Lane is now closed, but it was used to being housed unaccompanied children coming into the country until 2011. Campaigners claim they've seen adults on the site and have staged a protest outside.
Kent Online News.
You're being given the chance to see two huge housing developments planned for part of Kent in more detail. The Lidsing and Heathlands Garden settlements in Maidstone will have 7,000 homes once they're completed. New documents outlining what they'll look like, including open spaces, roads, footpaths and schools, are going on show for the first time in a series of drop-in sessions. Stuart Jeffrey is the Maidstone Council leader. He's been speaking to Nicola.
We've been working for the last almost a year now to develop the plans that start to shape what the developments will look like. As many people will know, my administration were not keen on these developments being there. We've tried to get out of them and we haven't been able to. So now we're trying to make sure that they are delivered in the best possible way, that there's enough green space for people and so on. And therefore, we've pulled together a good starter set of documents that we really need the public's views on and suggestions on. The developments are going to go ahead. We can't stop them. So we really need those positive suggestions that say, actually, if you move this bit over here, it will be better, because it's that kind of thing that we really need.
Sounds like this is making the best of a bad situation then, as far as you're concerned, Stuart.
Yes, I mean, I absolutely right. We are lumbered with the developments being where they are. So yes, we've got to try and make sure that we take the rough edges off and we come up with the best possible plans given the situation. Because those houses would have had to go somewhere. So you know, the fact that they're there is not our choice, but it's something that we are having to work with.
So the documents that are going on show for the first time today, where people can go along and have a look at them. How much detail do they actually go into? I believe it shows ideas for where road routes could go and footpaths, and as you mentioned, open spaces, but also things like schools as well, along with a time frame for the building. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. So the two developments are very different in timescale and different in size as well. So yes, there's all of those elements across both exhibitions. So yes, hopefully people will be able to see where we think those green spaces will be. For example, we're making sure that we're connecting the green spaces so that animals can travel between them. We're trying to make sure that those spaces are maximized for wildlife because wildlife is in such great peril in our country. So we're focused on that, but we're also focused on making sure that people can access all the services, the shops, and so forth within a reasonable walking time from each of the homes. So yeah, bringing all those elements together is quite hard work.
I'm sure, which is why obviously it's taken so long for these documents to be put together, but a lot of thought has to go into it. What are your initial impressions having seen them? Are you quite pleased with what they show so far?
I think we've got a way to go yet. I mean, yes, I think they're a good starter for 10. We've captured a lot of information. We have been out to the public once already, and we've worked with the developers as well as the local councillors on each project. So I think we've got to a point where it's now time to ask the audience, ask the public what people think and for their suggestions. But yes, I mean they're not perfect, but they are not bad.
The future of a derelict hotel off the A2 in Gravesend is set to be decided at a meeting later. The Tollgate building closed in 2006 when the road was widened and has since fallen into disrepair. BP want to spend £10 million developing the site into a petrol station and M&S food store. It's been recommended for approval. Plans for a solar farm on land near a rural village in Maidstone look set to be rejected. BSR Energy wanted to build the facility on Harp Farm in Boxley. It would have been the size of 123 football pitches and generated enough energy for more than 6,000 homes every year. The site sits within the Kent Downs National Landscape, where planning permission is only meant to be given in exceptional circumstances. A decision will be made next week. An abandoned waste site near Ashford could be turned into a new depot for council services. The former paper recycling plant in Nin Lane near Great Chart was previously going to be turned into an industrial estate, but plans were dropped. Ashford Borough Council now wants to create three new buildings, which would be used by the authority's grounds maintenance, housing repairs, and electricals teams.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have been knocked out in the group stage of the EFL Trophy. They were beaten 3-0 by Wickham Wanderers at Priestfield last night. Gill's manager Gareth Ainsworth says they'll learn lessons from the result.
Always going to be a tricky one, you know. We've got three youth team players out there tonight, you know, and that's really good. That's progress for the club that they're in the first team setup. And then countless first-year pros as well. So, yeah, tells me a lot. I get a lot of information from these sort of games, you know, a lot of knowledge about various players. And yeah, it's a tough one to take because obviously you never want to lose a game. But they've got millions of pounds on the pitch. They've got a big budget, Wickham. They've spent a hell of a lot of money. And I think even some of the players who don't play in the first team have cost hundreds of thousands of pounds and they're on show tonight. And that's what you get, that's the level, you know. So, yeah, we knew it would be tough. And also rotating legs because of the weekend's game as well. It's very difficult, you know, with a smaller squad. And that's by design, you know, that's something I wanted. But, yeah, we weren't going to risk your likes of Robbie McKenzie, Gareth McClear, Ethan Coleman, people like that, you know. Just not, and there's a couple of injuries in there as well, which we don't want to risk. So, at the end of the day, you know, tough night, but plenty of learning. And we always say, you know, we never lose, we learn, and we've got to get ready for Crawley now. I don't want anyone with a hangover on Thursday. Not an alcoholic hangover, by the way. It's a defeat hangover. Nobody should have any of those two on Thursday, and we'll be ready to go against Crawley on Saturday. You know, which again will be a very tough game because I think they're in a little bit of a false position in the league, if I'm honest. But tonight, yeah, fair play to Wickham, come and you know, done a job. The goals were a little bit sloppy, you know, the first one, I think there's an individual error before the goal goes in, and we'll talk about that. And then the second one, you know, we lose Shadrach off the pitch for a corner, and he's one of our main markers, and lo and behold, it falls to the middle of the 6-yard box for one of their men to volley in, and that's poor defending, really. Yeah, and then the third, we're chasing the game a little bit, and it's a bit of a mismatch at the back there. But no, we had chances, you know, with the post. We had some flashes of game. Stan Sargent coming on, creating a few bits. You know, I thought Max Clark playing out of position came on and really just hates losing anything, Max. You know, he's a real competitor. And I think, it was a tough one to take. But heads up, we go again, and that's all we can do.
And here's reaction from centre-back Logan Dobbs.
We had chances. We could have put the game away. Obviously, they're league above. Probably fresher. We had a few boys get minutes, rotate the team. But overall, obviously it's disappointing, but now we can focus on the league. A lot of boys now come back from injury, which helps us. But yeah, now we can focus on the league. We ain't got to worry about cup games.
As you say, we had our moments, didn't we? Aaron's hit the post, I think Travis had a shot over the bar, Stan's put one wide. So we had our moments, but sadly we didn't take ours, and they took theirs when they came.
Yeah, that's why they're the league above. Little chances, I think they had two good goals, one we should have done better on the corner, but it's just the small things. If we score them, it might be a different game, but yeah, it's just the small things that we need to work on.
What do you learn from tonight, Bergen? Appreciate you've had a few first team games already, but what do you kind of take from it?
I think personally, the striker, I'm not really used to having a big striker to work with. The formation, right centre back of a 3 and then switching to right centre back of a 4, just small little things, but mostly like fitness is important. Small little tricks that I need to learn, I need to get into my game, but yeah, overall it was good.
Just finally, talk me through your loan spells, because you come back from when you've gone back out to Tunbridge now. How are you getting on?
Yeah, I made my debut on Saturday. Unfortunately, we lost 1-0 to Hornchurch, but it's a new experience. Hopefully I do well.
They're back in League 2 action this weekend as they host Crawley Town. And a group of students at the University of Kent are taking on a rowing challenge to raise money and awareness for men's mental health. 15 members of the rowing club are aiming to do just over 700 kilometres during Movember. Lucy's been chatting to Ollie Wyeth, who's the fundraising secretary.
I think there is still a stigma, not so much with younger people these days. Lots of people talk to their friends. There is a lot more support out there for younger people with mental health issues. I think, yes, there is still quite a significant stigma for the older generations, middle-aged people and what have you. And I think certainly for men, there is still that stigma. But I think with things like Movember, with challenges like this, it helps to break down those barriers.
Yeah, of course, you're raising money, but also raising that awareness can make such a big difference, can't it?
Yes, it can. And I think that's one of the main things. It's getting the information out there, making people realise they aren't alone, that there is support that they can have, not just official support, but you can also turn to your friends to get help.
So talking about the rowing challenge itself, so will you be kind of out on the water every day, or how are you kind of planning to break it up?
So we do currently do rowing about 5 days a week out on the water. We will also be including gym training sessions, so ergathons and things like that to get us to the 705 kilometres. It is quite difficult for us because we are obviously a competitive rowing club, so we train to row at speed rather than at distance, and so we are having to swap from speed to distance.
And I suppose sport is a good way of tackling this topic of mental health, because sport can be obviously a really good way of improving mental health, but also that kind of team spirit and camaraderie you get from being part of a sports club.
Yes, of course. I mean, we're very close-knit, and I think most sports clubs are, and everybody kind of looks out for each other, which I think, you know, does help everyone's mental health, because they feel like they have got people they can turn to. And I think personally, it has helped my mental health to have that. And also, certainly for a rowing point of view, it's quite nice and very therapeutic to go out on the water and just row and watch the scenery as it goes by. It's very nice.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.